Welcome to the Dry Podcast. We are coming at you from a very unusual location today. We are in the heart of Spitalfields Market in London, and I've got a very special guest for the second week in a row. I've been graced with his presence, but it's the one and only Andy Ramage is with me, and he's just come off the back of probably two of the biggest podcast recordings you can actually record.
Yeah, that's a good start.
How are you? So.
Good. Living the dream. I was just telling a story before we started recording that approaching this restaurant, which is called Ottolonghi.
Ottolonghi.
In Spitalfields, which is lovely. I thought I saw Matt in the window, and this guy was videoing me and smiling, and I thought it was Matt probably mucking about, creating some story, and he's going to go, oh, here he comes. Assuming it was Matt, I started waving and jumping, and then as I got closer, I realised it wasn't Matt. And just mortified myself. And then I was thinking, oh, I hope Matt's not in that restaurant. And I had to walk past him.
I wonder if he was listening to Dr. Rungan Chatterjee's podcast.
Might have been.
He might have been thinking he was hallucinating. A dancing Andy Ramage running towards him in a wet Spitalfields Market.
Yeah,
we're in a restaurant, aren't we, mate? We're like, not because of any other reason that we were going to do a walkie-talkie, but it's raining. It started off as a sunny day and now it's raining. So we plotted up quite nicely. We've just had a nice shakshuka. And we're chewing the fat and reflecting on what's been quite a big week for you.
Both of us actually. You did talk about your live first yesterday with Fern McCann.
Yeah, with Fern.
There was
yeah,
a thousand people on that. Did you say?
Yeah, a thousand people at one time. Yeah,
I've got proper live envy. I've been doing it for 10 years. I reckon my record's about 100 max.
Isn't it mad though? Like I was saying this to Kirst afterwards. Like you put 1,000 people in a room. You know, you twitch. You're twitching, aren't you?
Yeah.
People, a lot of eyes. Don't get me wrong, it was moving around all the time, so it wasn't at that all the time by any means, but still there's still a lot of people. I mean, obviously she gets incredible engagement, she's got millions of views, and it's just what's nice about that is she wanted to do it, and she's done the Get Dry course that we are doing again in April, and she loved it, and she, because of that, started her year on a positive note, and she wanted to do it. She was in the group, she was engaged in it, she was on the calls. And she now flies the flag for Dry, and she openly speaks about how wonderful the community is. So to have someone like her as a new friend and as a friend of ours as a community, and you've now met her.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? Yeah.
So yeah, it's brilliant. It wasn't quite as big as the Rungan Chatterjee podcast, but it was still a good little catch up.
Yeah, and it's just nice to be able to talk about Dry, and that's what I think was lovely for me doing Rungan's podcast. You know, when I did that 5 years ago, obviously Dry wasn't a thing, and actually the alcohol-free movement was still really embryonic. I mean, you wouldn't have even been on the radar at that stage.
Yeah.
Alcohol-free drinks weren't a thing. To go back and sort of have that conversation of where it's come to over that last few years was really nice to have that reflection. And what was also interesting, Rungan stopped drinking 4 years ago, so pretty much on the back of that podcast, he hasn't had a drink in between. So that's another, you know, like this real, I think Rungan's a real guru of health and wellness. Well, that's the biggest health and wellness podcast in Europe right now. I think it's the 7th biggest podcast in the UK. It's massive. But to have someone like that, then it's also flying the flag now of 4 years alcohol-free, which was brilliant. He put a post on his Instagram, I just noticed the other day, and it was him just sort of saying about being alcohol-free. And it's like, I think there's, you know, 500-600 comments on that post already, but it's predominantly of people saying, so am I, I'm a year, I'm 2 years, I'm 5 years. Like, that didn't exist before. I reckon if we put that post out 5 years ago, that would have had a muted response. But now it is literally, yes please, it is a litany of comments.
Any sugar at all guys?
With no thanks, mate.
We are good, thank you.
This is all part of the podcast, carry on.
Well, lucky it wasn't going, there's a pint of Stella. Two pints of Stella, lads. A bottle of wine, a bottle of champagne, imagine that. On the pod, Rumble.
We're celebrating.
Rumble. Right there, but no, that was lovely, I think, to see how far the movement's come, and it's still so embryonic. This is the really exciting thing. You know, people keep asking me, where do you see it going in the next 5-10 years? And I really believe that it's going to go the way of smoking. I think people will always smoke and always drink, but on the whole, I think more and more people are coming to the same realisation that we have, that actually their optimal performance, optimal functioning in all domains, whether it be parenting or whether it be in their career, actually alcohol just gets in the way of it.
Yeah.
It gets in the way of most things that you want to do well in your life. And then I think it's that reflection, like trade-off, isn't it? It's like, well, and this came up on the podcast, and I forgot I said this, was that I actually think it would be healthier if people viewed alcohol like they do all other drugs. Again, legal and illegal, because let's just get real for a moment. Let's just say someone's going to a festival and they might be thinking, am I going to take ecstasy? Am I, you know, what sort of drugs am I going to take at this festival? I think the ridiculous thing is our relationship with alcohol would be so much better if people treated it like one of those drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to a festival, right, I'm going to take the alcohol drug.
Yeah.
And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be rubbish at everything for the next couple of days after that. I'm going to be a rubbish parent. I'm going to be rubbish at my job. But it's factored in, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, people do with other types of recreational drugs. Whereas at the moment with alcohol, it's just everywhere. We drink it like water.
Yeah.
There's no comprehension of what are the consequences. It's just like it's Tuesday.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I've gone on a bit of a journey with my thoughts on this. Because when I first went sober, I was like, because you know when you do something, you feel like the whole world's going to do it. And I got caught up in that, like, I think it's going to go the way of smoking. And then probably about a year or two ago, I think I was walking around here, like walking around the streets of London on like a Thursday night. You know, it's like, you know, it's heaving. And it was when the COVID thing had started to worn off and people had gradually come back to the office, and everyone and their dog was coming back on Thursdays because it's like Thirsty Thursdays. It's back, and it felt busier than I'd ever seen it. And because I think I'd gone sober in lockdown, and then all the bars shut, and then pubs drifted away and people couldn't come into town, it was very quiet. I thought everyone's getting a message, but like you think they're aligned to what you're doing. But when I started seeing people come back and seeing the streets and the pubs and the bars heaving, I was like, it was a realisation, a bit disheartening of like, oh, we're well up against it here. But I'd say since the turn of this year, I've changed it a little bit again. And I think it will go the way of smoking. But I think smoking took probably 40 years. And I think alcohol's going to take 40 years. So it's sort of, when we're on our last legs, I think it will go the way of smoking, but I think we've got a long journey ahead of us, and we have to be realistic about that. But it's obviously definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even, but I think the big difference being is the alcohol-free drinks now. So even when you're walking past those pubs and they are heaving, more and more people in those pubs will be drinking alcohol-free.
Definitely.
Especially that sort of Thursday night, Friday night, a couple after work, I can still drive home. That used to do me up constantly. Like, I would be tired in that constant negative loop from drinking, where I'd be tired, stressed, and the only way out of that felt like to have a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
So come Friday, what would always trip me up, I just couldn't face the journey home.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, isn't it? I couldn't face the journey home, because that is the moment when you're sort of coming down off everything. You've probably been out on the Thursday having a few drinks.
Yeah.
You're absolutely, you're tired, you've got no energy. It's the end of the working week. So the only way to almost get the energy to be bothered to go home, how ridiculous is that, was to have three or four drinks.
Yeah.
And then that's completely messed up my whole weekend.
Yeah.
Literally going from like a minus five, trying to have four drinks to probably get back to a zero, just to travel home, to wake up on a Saturday back at minus five again.
Oh, give me shivers.
But what we do, whereas now I think there's genuinely an opportunity to have those two or three after work, do it alcohol free.
Yeah.
And because if you haven't been drinking in the week, you're not at minus five.
Yeah.
You probably finished the week at a zero or plus two. Therefore, you're not caught in that negative loop, relieving with alcohol. You're actually now in a positive loop and actually having a good social life with alcohol free. Like that is such a big thing, that.
Yeah.
Once people see that, and I think so many people get trapped, but that's the difference. I think people are starting to wake up to that.
And what do you mean by a zero and a plus two? I know what you mean, but what if people are like, what's he going on about? What,
yeah, so I just mean in terms of, let's just say, your vibrancy, your energy. I think when we're drinking, we end up in that negative loop because it blows up our neurochemistry and destroys our sleep. So it takes us, let's just say, normally we're at a zero, like a flat, in terms of like our well-being, our like baseline point. I think alcohol and poor sleep puts you into negative territory. And the only thing that seems to make you feel back to zero again or positive numbers is to have a drink.
Yeah.
That's that negative loop we get in. But I think when you optimize yourself by being alcohol free, your baseline's higher. So you're not even at zero anymore. I think you start at plus five.
Yeah.
And you fluctuate around there. And maybe sometimes you do drift down to zeros, but predominantly you're in positive numbers. So by the end of the week, instead of being minus five, having to have a couple of drinks to feel normal again, almost, which sounds that sounds like someone's got a really problematic relationship with alcohol, but I don't actually believe that. I think the average drinker is in negative territory.
Yeah.
And that's why the average drinker is having those few drinks on a Friday to sort of feel okay again. But someone that's alcohol free, suddenly you get to Friday and you're plus three.
Yeah.
So you've got less desire to drink alcohol, to bump up, to sort of feel normal again, and then you have your alcohol free alternatives, you wake up on a Saturday and you're plus five.
Yeah.
Like that's a, like those two lives are so different. The minus five life versus the plus five life is, like I was saying that this morning on one of my lives, that is priceless, that gap. That's a 10 point swing in your well-being by not drinking. And that's the moment when you wake up Saturday instead of ignoring the kids a little bit because you're still in a bit of an emotional pain and your neurochemistry is trying to bounce back and you're in a low mood and snapping at the kids and not doing the things you'd like to do, versus jumping up, going for a run, hitting the gym, connecting with some mates over coffee, feeling radiant and energized. As soon as the kid's up, you're out with the kids, you do like those two lives over the next 10 or 20 years, it's just such a dramatic difference. And I think so many people are caught in that minus life and they don't even know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're doing really well, is just slowly waking people up.
Yeah, and I think that it's a really good point. And I think that people like us, that we're finding ways of making plus six a plus eight and a plus eight a plus 10, a plus 10 a plus 12. That's the game I'm playing at the minute. So I said to you, I've been getting in the cold water, which I, you know, you've been on this cold water journey with me where we went to Ireland and I fucking was freaking out about it and hated every second of it. But we created dry in the same trip. And then we went back again and I sort of got in again and never really understood it. Always been a wimp about getting in it. Just can't deal with it, basically. But I'm not that sort of guy. So like when something like happens to me, I'm like, fucking, I'm going to crush this. I'm going to do it. So even going on holiday last year, getting in the Spanish sea, 17 degrees. But you know, it's still cold water.
Yeah.
So even that for me, I was getting in every day just to try and get in there. And I went on a retreat to Scotland with the Off the Sesh lads 2 weeks ago. I just had the most incredible time. And that connection with the community was adding plus seven to plus eight easily. And then getting in the cold water as a team and doing it with hot and cold with a sauna, I was literally like fuzzy. I was buzzy. Yeah. I felt incredible. So I was like, when I get home, so I dug out the old upright paddling pool. The cheap version that me and you have both got.
The Lumi.
Yeah, it's not a new Lumi, but it's like that. And filled it up. And we had the most incredible like family day on Friday because of that ice bath. Because what you know it's like, your kids do what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was getting there and then the kids were like, I want to get in there. So the kids get in there. And then we're pumping up all the tyres in the garage because I'm up and early. I'm like, right, I can feel the spring sunshine on my face. Me and the kids are out on a bike ride. I've done my ice bath. I've been to the gym. I'm feeling good. I've slept well. Yes. Like you just have the most incredible buzz while I was riding my little bike with the kids in front of me, just thinking, this is what life's all about, isn't it? And that, by the way, was on a Sunday, which Sundays for me are always the day that I think I look back at, because it was super, it was hangover all morning.
Yeah.
And then it starts to think about having a beer, maybe watch the Grand Prix, and then it's football, and then football, and then you sort of, that was my Sunday, meeting the lads in the pub, 4 pints, 5 pints, to recover, feel good on a Sunday afternoon, mid-afternoon, go back for a roast, hammer that. Whereas this Sunday, I was like, it just makes you see the world so differently. So it's a live example of that minus 10 life and a plus 10 life.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly now on the search for what is the next ice bath.
Is it
sound baths? Is it meditation? Is it more of this breath work stuff I've been doing? You know, just keep your spiritual route. How far can you take it? Sorry, a guy's just walked in and he's, I think he's trying to shout over us.
Is it?
Yeah. I think,
yeah,
so if you can pick up a random in the background. We have got microphones on, but just in case you wonder, I think he wants in on the conversation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a bit distracting, but still. But it's so true. Like, I got one of those ice baths in the summer because I was really brave. I thought I'd do it in the summer.
Yeah. And the tap water in the southeast is about 20 degrees.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. It was more like just sort of tepid water rather than ice bath. But although I love getting in the sea, I can do that all day long. But the ice bath thing I've always struggled with. But equally, it was funny. I got one of them in the summer, the same sort of thing, the small one, which I had to like crouch up into a tiny ball to get in. I think I was telling you before, and my Ruby, my daughter, came out like, what are you doing? I'm stuck in this ice bath. And as I'm talking to her, I started to feel myself drifting slightly to the right, and I thought I was strained. And then before I knew it, I'd fully fallen, and like a cannonball from a gun, it shot me across the lawn. Because all the water came rushing out, and I was just like laid out in the middle of the grass.
That story.
Yeah. That was the end of my ice bath career. I haven't reignited it ever since.
Yeah, I got mine out. Like, when I got it, I built it, you know, get it up, put the water in, did it. I felt really good after it. Second day, I went to go in and the water had all gone. And I was like, it must have like a puncture or something. Yeah, so I contacted them. And then one of the lads in Scotland said, are you sure you didn't like leave like the plug out?
Plug on.
Because I'm about as good at DIY as you are. I thought, I'll just give that another run, see if it...
Yeah.
This time I put it up.
And it works.
Yeah, plugs in.
It's all right. Plug undone. Oh, this is definitely broken, mate. Can I send this back? It's got a hole in it.
I want my 99 quid back. But no, I'm trying to get in contact with some ice bath companies now, because I feel I want the proper setup. Because I think if I've got the proper setup, then I think I'm doing it, you know. And I'm doing it now. It's freezing outside. And I'm really feeling the benefits from it. Not as much, I have to say, as if I've got the hot as well.
Yeah.
So not that I'm in a position to get a sauna as well in my garden, but I can get that. And actually, when we went to Scotland as well, we had a sauna. And when we went to Ireland, you went in the sauna with Happy Pair Lads, didn't you?
That was nice.
It's so much easier.
It did make it easier, I must admit. I was absolutely almost faint. You know, they were in there that long, it was that hot, it was almost too much. I think I got out a bit early. And then to walk over to the road, I literally felt bulletproof, even though it was freezing.
Yeah.
Got in the sea, felt bulletproof, and then it started to kick in. So that made it a lot easier for me, I must admit.
Yeah.
That's the way forward. Sauna's the next thing.
Sauna is, mate. Dry sauna.
Yeah.
I contacted some ice bath company. I was like, fancy doing me a little deal, and I'll promote it on my Instagram. So we'll see what they say. Hopefully, you might see me one in soon. But I'm not going to fork out $2,000 for one. Although, I think, in fairness, it probably would be worth it if you do use it. I think that's the sort of thing, you don't spend the money on the drink, the drugs, the cigarettes, exactly. The takeaways. Why not invest in something that you're going to use every day? And it's just another example of promoting good health to your kids. I walked in this, I texted you at 5 o'clock this morning, up at 5 o'clock in the morning, thinking I'm up super early. He's already texted me at 4:36.
I was up, I've been doing my press ups already.
Exactly. I went to the gym, did a spin class, came home, the kids were just coming down for breakfast. And they're like, have you been to the gym? What have you been doing? Spinning weights? They're like asking all these questions. I'm just thinking, what a good example we are to our kids. And like that, I can see it, especially in my young lad's eyes. I can see him doing it. I can see him going spinning. He's literally absorbing everything I'm saying and he's storing it and he's going to use that when he's 18. It's just incredible. It's incredible to see, isn't it? And moving on to community, I want to talk about that quickly, because we've seen record numbers in the dry app. We've seen record numbers on our lives. And since, obviously, this week's activities, it's boosted again from all the new faces from coming in from Dr. Rungan Chatterjee's podcast. What do you think stands out to you in the dry community as being your sort of flagship moment so far in the last 18 months? And also, why do you think it's so important to have these sort of communities in the alcohol-free space?
Yeah, a lot of people keep asking me this. I think as well, we need the alcohol-free communities, why they're so important. Because it is still a bit of a solo mission, isn't it? Very often. I know like we're starting to inspire our kids and our partners, but very often, I'd say most people in the dry app are probably the only person they know doing this, if you know what I mean. I.e. their loved ones are probably still drinking, their family, their mates, their colleagues, therefore, it's so important, isn't it, to have a space where people get you, they understand you, you've got your own shared language, you start to get to know people, don't you, know their stories, and start to see those stories unfold. People on day one are struggling, blipping around, slipping around, and then they crack it, and then they get the benefits. That is so inspirational and aspirational, because I think, even for me and you, it's harder and harder to inspire people, because we're not going through those early stages now, so therefore the community does that for us. And that's why it's so important for people to keep showing up and posting and sharing, getting involved in the lives like they do. Our life members are incredible, you know, for the fact they do those live sessions like we all do. And again, it just shows all different shapes and sizes and shades and different stages of the alcohol-free adventure, which I think is so important. You need to be inspired by people a little bit like you going through something similar at the same time. I think that's where the magic of alcohol-free communities comes from, having the power in your pocket that's pretty much 24/7. So when people contribute, you know, I do have so much respect and love for everyone that takes the time to post, takes the time to comment, like a post, because that does make a difference. Even if you don't think it does make a massive difference. The more you post, even if no one gets hold of it, someone's read that, and that's helped someone else. And that, for me, that's like, you know, that that's the greatest buzz of all, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That's why you're right, because we do get record numbers in there, but it's alcohol free. I think sometimes people are reluctant to, people quite a voyeur mode is engaged. They look at what we do, they look at what's going on, they read other people's posts, but we've said since day one, get stuck in. You get the same buzz from reading as you do from writing one, and I tell you, you'll start engaging people, and that's where the magic really happens. We've seen that in our Get Dry course, we've seen that in our Next Step course, we've seen that in even the coaching that your course, I became closer with people. Through doing your coaching course, and I've just had a couple of messages from people that I encourage to do your course that's just finishing up, right?
That's right, yeah.
And they've just said the best time doing it, set aside from the fact they're going to qualify as coach, but just as a personal development journey. So all communities are good communities in this space, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think there's something magic about the alcohol-free space. The fluff has gone. Like, why else would you be in a room with all those people that are not perfect, because we're all putting our hands up to say we're trying to overcome this challenge in our life. Again, that could be someone that it's a big challenge for, and for others it's an exciting little adventure they just want to test. But equally, that sort of pretense is out the window. You get real people sharing real things in real time. I think there's something really inherently powerful about that, whereas like a generic group, sometimes people have all got a bit of a persona, a bit of a facade, a bit of I'm perfect kind of vibe going on, whereas in the alcohol free space there's none of that. So that veneer that is not engaging or meaningful has gone, and we get right to the deep and meaningful stuff. And I think that's why it's so powerful, you know, seeing people like wrestling with real things in their life and having real successes and real failures and real, you know, insight and inspiration. There's just something pretty cool about that. And like, we've been in the alcohol free space for a long while, we've met so many brilliant people. Like, our friendship is something that's come out of that. So many other friendships have come out of that space. Like, I like hanging out with people that don't drink, because they get life in the same way that I do. I don't like as much anymore, unfortunately, being with people that I can tell are itching just to go and sit and have three or four drinks before they warm up and then get into it. I'm like, I don't need three or four drinks to warm up and get into it now. I'd rather meet someone that doesn't drink, and I know they'll be on the same wavelength. For example, I just went to a big dinner party with Dan Carden, who's the MP for Liverpool Labour, who doesn't drink. He's got an incredible story. Do check that out. You can YouTube his story. He gave the most incredible speech in Parliament about him coming out as gay and about his relationship with alcohol. It's such a brilliant speech. More people should watch. But I went to a dinner party. Didn't know a sinner. And my heart didn't skip a beat. I was like, I'm going to rock up. I didn't have to think about the alcohol situation. Loads of people were drinking. It wasn't a dry event. But Dan had selectively sort of picked the tables. So on my table, most people didn't drink. And within seconds, just formed such brilliant bonds and connections with people. I genuinely had one of the best nights I've had in ages.
Yeah.
None of our table were drinking. Predominantly, most of the other tables were. And we were like the last out. I was the last person out of this venue. They went downstairs into this like jazz clubby bit. I went down in there, and as I got down in there, I got accosted instantly by this one lady who had clearly overcooked it on the Vino Calypso and sort of linked arms with me and was trying to drag me into this space, like all over the place. I was like, I'll tell you what.
See you later.
I've just got to pop outside, drop the shoulder, and legged it. But my point being, like, who was having a better time? I had a brilliant time, and I could tell that lady might tell herself the story she was having a great time, but I tell you, she weren't. And she was all over the place, and I guarantee you the next day she felt that in a big way. And that was a nice little reminder, you know what I mean? I was at the same place, having a brilliant time, and doing it alcohol-free. It's a game changer.
Yeah. And just quickly, on your coaching, I just mentioned it. When is your... Because I've had a few people ask me about coaching, and I qualified as a coach through your course, and I always fly the flag for your course. When is the next cohort open, and how can people like find out about that?
In May. So by the time this goes out, we'll probably have a space in the app that you can click on next to the courses that will tell you all about it. Or you can go directly to my website, andyrammage.com. And when it says, how did you hear about us? Check the dry tab, because then we know you've come through the dry system. And on there's a 3-week workshop that will tell you all about coaching, all about what it is. For me, like, it's just that game-changing skill that gives us the opportunity to give back, contribute, connect, find meaning, find purpose. And then if you turn it into, you know, the economical thing where it's a part-time role that you perform or it's your full-time vocation. I'm seeing, you know, having run this now for 3 or 4 years, seeing every single shape of that. Lots of people turn it into a lovely thing they run alongside their busy life or career. Others are doing it full-time coaching in all its different shapes and sizes. That could be one-to-one coaching, that could be running workshops, that could be starting a podcast, creating an app.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's so much broader, but really it's just it's a glorified self-development course.
Exactly. And even if you're unsure about what you want to do with it, do it anyway. If you can, if you can afford it, if you can have the time to do it, give it a go, because it's bloody worth it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I love it. We've just graduated another group, and for that, what you were saying there, there's a real bond and a real connection, not only between the people that are in their cohort, but between myself and the people that are in their cohort. And that's nice for us as well. We get real up close with people, and obviously with a big app, sometimes, although you do a brilliant job and you've been doing a great job of getting out there and meeting people just recently through the meetups, but it's also quite nice to do something that's a bit smaller, a bit like Get Dry, a bit like Next Step, which we both love.
Yeah.
Because there is that, you know, more of a closer relationship that we get to build with the people coming through Dry. Yeah,
exactly. And on that note as well, if anyone's thinking of joining us for the Get Dry course, it is our like flagship course really, because it's like the thing that most people have done so far. It's 99 quid, but it runs for the whole month of April, and it's from the 1st to the 30th, and there's content direct live every single night. There's 10 Zoom sessions, that's more Zoom sessions than we've ever done before, 5 drop-in sessions, and the rest of them are masterclasses. There's also live content delivered, live streamed into the private group every single night, so it's at 7 p.m. UK time. So if you're at that witching hour, you struggle with it, then this is the perfect course for you. There's literally been loads of people that have done it. It's a great way of showing up for the first time. It's a great way of seeing what it's all about. It's a great way of getting a bit closer to us, listening to our experts, and spending a month off the booze. And it's on the back of Easter, where everyone hits it a little bit hard, whether that's in chocolate, booze, or roast lamb. One of the three.
All three.
So that's out, and that starts on Monday night, so Easter Monday evening, 7 p.m. You can sign up until then. You can sign up in the app, you can sign up at dryapp.com. come and see us, you won't regret that.
Yeah, and that's what I love. Even it's been nice being on these big podcasts, Rich Roll podcast, Rondon Chatterjee podcast, and being able to talk about Dry for the first time ever. And also I think what we've done really well is create a skillful initiative that is free for anyone to join, which is really important to us. All that incredible free content on a daily basis, but equally, like a gym, if you want more and you want to train with us and get to know us a bit better in a smaller group and get that sort of leveled up, and you're in a position to invest in that, why wouldn't you? Yeah. Like, why not come and join us and take it to the next level? And equally, for those that might not be in that position, brilliant, there's all that lovely free resource that is Dry. But if you're remotely in a position to step up, and my hunch is, if you're in the alcohol-free space, you're saving more than that course on a nightly, probably once a week.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out and have a couple of drinks, you're spending 100 quid these days, aren't you?
It's the course that pays you.
It's the course that pays you. There you go. Exactly. So, like, reinvest. You know, I've just reinvested in a £8,000 mastermind. I'm constantly reinvesting in these type of courses because I want to learn and grow. So, one that's £99 or whatever it is that sort of starts that process of self-development, it's just a bit of I'm totally biased, but it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
why wouldn't you do it?
Get stuck in.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're gonna leave it there because hopefully you've heard this all right, but we're gonna crack on. I've got to go and record another podcast. What are you doing for the rest of the day? Anything exciting?
No, not really.
Waiting to be told what to do. He's going to Lululemon to get himself some new clobber.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna.
You've just come out of the back of a mega busy period, mate.
I deserve it. I've literally just finished 2 days of coach, 4 days of coach training delivery. So today's my day off, really.
And you've been in LA. And you've been up north. And you've been up north again.
I've been, yeah, exactly.
You've been all over the gap.
Yeah, that's right. I've been Manchester, Liverpool, LA, London, living the alcohol-free dream.
There he goes. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, mate. Good to see you. And guys, have a lovely weekend, have a lovely week, stay dry. If you want to download the app, if you haven't already, you can get it from wherever you get your apps from, and you can listen to this podcast every Friday, and we'll be back next week. All right,
let's do this.
See you later.